Production. Recorded live.
You are listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to episode 7 of the Geocaching Podcast, where we're reviewing everytrail.com. I'd like to welcome any new listeners that we have on the show today, and I'd also welcome back anyone who's a returning listener, and this is not their first time. Some exciting things happened this week. We actually got a domain name. Our domain is geocachingpodcast.info, so you can go there and you can see all of our show notes and stuff for this show, where you'll have links and stuff like that from the show. Also, the email address to get a hold of me has changed. It's now xpunkx@geocachingpodcast.info. And another exciting thing that happened this week is the day change. Obviously, if you're listening live to this, you got that because you're here today instead of Tuesday, or instead of Saturday. So you've got the day change. You got the information about the day change. I'd like to remind everyone who is listening to this recorded that this show is aired and recorded live Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you are listening live right now and you want to be on the show today, please call 724-444-7444. And the TalkCast ID is 7525. And if you call in, what benefit do you have? You can text chat, you can call in, and we can have your questions answered. On today's show, we have a review of everytrail.com and a little bit how that relates to geocaching. Today we have an employee of everytrail.com, and so we have them on the line. So I'm going to go ahead and get them unmuted, and welcome to the show today.
Hi, Andy. Thanks for having me today.
Hey, no problem. Can you tell me a little bit about how you are involved with EveryTrail? How does that relate to you?
Okay, sure. So I'm actually the founder of EveryTrail.com, and it came from my passion for traveling and the outdoors. I've been traveling, mountaineering, doing a lot of ski mountaineering all over the world, and so have been using GPS. And at some point, I just figured, like, let's make, combine my professional life and my passion, and so that's how I started EveryTrail.
That's really cool. I came across it because I'm a geocacher, obviously, and I also subscribe to the Podcacher podcast, and I had seen their review on it a while back, and I saw you did some posting in there, so as soon as I saw it on their post, I checked it out and signed up right away. So can you explain a little bit to us about about how it works?
Sure, absolutely. So for any trip you do, whether it's a hike or even a general travel trip abroad, multiple day trip, you take your GPS device with you. We support most GPS devices because we use the standard GPX format. So you take your GPS device with you. You just wear it, you don't care too much about it while you're traveling. Once you get back home, you upload your GPS data to our site, and then you can combine it with your photos, you can add notes and stories, and so that way you get a very compelling, cool, interactive trip report, which you then can share with family and friends and anyone who's interested.
That's cool. One of the things that I noticed on the site when I was playing with it is the ability to place your photos along the trip and how it does that automatically. I definitely thought that was a really cool thing because, you know, you don't always remember where you took the photos at. And I noticed it did a really good job of placing my photos along the trip where it was at. And I thought that was definitely a cool thing that it does. Tell us a little bit more just about the sharing and stuff like that. How does that work?
Yeah, so once you've uploaded your trip, and you can choose a setting to either make it public or private. So once you make it public, everyone who comes to EveryTrail can see your trip. But also we allow for some easier ways to share. For example, you can email the URL around to all your friends. But even cooler is you can embed a little iframe, so one line of code into your own blog or social network page. And so that way, the visitors of your own blog can get an interactive trip report in your blog, and they can, you know, see where you were without even leaving your blog and just click around in your trip.
Yeah, that's definitely cool. I'm on the site right now. And I'm looking at if you're listening to this and you're not on the webpage right now, there's a couple different tabs along the top. You have home, you have browse trips where you can actually see other people's trips that are going on. You have my trips, which will show you the different trips that you have going on that you have you've created. You have a create trip tab, which will allow you to see all of your data that you have uploaded. There's an upload tab, and then there's help, blog, and log out. Tell us a little bit about the ways to upload.
Yeah, sure. So there are basically two ways to upload GPS data. One is by uploading a GPX file directly to the site. It's just a very simple form on the upload page. And the other one is by first downloading a little desktop application that then grabs data from your Garmin device directly. So if you have a Garmin device, that's actually the easiest way because you don't need to mess around with creating GPX files. You can just connect your device to the PC and then automatically upload everything to the site directly.
Yeah, when I was playing around with it, that's how I did it. I used the uploader, and I really did like that because I didn't need to first create the GPX files and then upload it. I just hooked my GPS right up to it, and it uploaded right for me. And I have a Garmin eTrex Legend, and it supported that, and I really thought that was cool. One of the things that I did notice, and I had emailed you about it, is the ability to, that since I am a geocacher, I had a bunch of waypoints that were not related to necessarily my trip that were already in my GPS, and I did upload them. They got uploaded with my, since I did hook it up to the applet or the uploader, it uploaded everything. Now, and you said that there wasn't a easy way to delete them without contacting you guys. Is that something you guys plan on implementing in the everytrail.com?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a work in progress, and it will be forever, I guess.
Yeah.
So one of the things we notice is that, by default, we upload all the data from your device, you know, which is kind of cool and easy. But on the other hand, if you have a lot of stuff on there that you don't necessarily want to include in the trip, then it can be kind of a pain. And then, you know, that pain is compounded by the fact that it's not very easy to delete stuff from the site right now. You have to click them all one by one. So, yeah, definitely there are two things we're going to do. One is to make the default case that you can choose which data to upload from your GPS device, so you won't upload all your thousands of caches which are in your device. And secondly, also easier ways to manage your data, to merge it, to delete it, etc.
Mm-hmm. I suppose a way around that would be to create the GPX file first with the data that you want to upload, I suppose.
Right, yeah, that's what you can do right now, but, you know, for users, they prefer to use the connector, the little piece of software, and then we don't want to necessarily surprise them by taking all their data without them really noticing what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any plans in the works that are going to be coming out to the site soon that you can tell us a little bit about?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are actually working on a complete redesigned view trip page. We feel right now that if you click on any trip detail page, then it's a little bit too technical right now. On the right side, you have a lot of information. It's hard to follow the story. And so we are looking to redesign it. We flip the map around, so we put the map on the right side, and on the left side, we allow users really to tell story. So we show larger photos, and we also include the possibility to write more text, basically. So on the left side, you will just read the story, and on the right side, you will see the story replicated on a map, and everything will be interactive. So once you hover over a part of the story on the left, the relevant part on the right on the map will highlight. And so that way, you know, people have just a more intuitive way to tell their story. There's many different things. Maybe one thing to highlight is that we are already enabling users to download an entire trip into Google Earth, so you can see it in 3D then, which is really cool. You see all your photos, your tracks, your waypoints, everything. But we are working on creating a network link And a network link is kind of a live connection between Google Earth and our database. So you just browse around the world in Google Earth, and then in real time, all the trip data is streamed in. So you can kind of discover in a very intuitive way, you can see, you know, where people are active, where, you know, different trips are. And because you see all the trips in just one view, you can very easily, you know, explore cool places to go. And then
I was just going to say, and us geocachers on the geocaching site, we have that ability now with the geocaches to do that with a live network link to Google Earth.
Very cool.
And so I think that'll be definitely a really cool thing for every trail and geocaching, because then if I have my Google Earth open, I can see geocaches and every trail trips that are going to be around the area that I'd be around.
Great. Very cool. Yeah, and so the final thing we're working on, or at least something I would like to mention, is the search capability, which we haven't implemented yet. Search meaning not only just simple keyword search, but more intuitive ways to slice and dice our trip database based on your interests, so based on location and based on type of activities.
That's definitely cool. It is one of the sites that, like I said, that as soon as I heard about it, I definitely had to come check it out. I really do like it, and I really appreciate all the stuff that you guys are doing to improve it and to make it better. So,
great. Thank you.
Yep. So I guess that's pretty much everything that we have as far as every trail goes today. So I'm going to go ahead and just mute everybody here, and I'm going to just head a few other things. So, Juice, if you want to, or Joss, if you want to, you can hang on and listen to the rest of the show if you want to. If not, you can hang up. We really appreciate you being on the show. Thanks for coming out today. The rest of the stuff that we kind of had on the show today was just, we're going to talk a little bit about caching on a budget and the different stuff that's in the Geocaching Wikipedia for caching on a budget. So from the Cachepedia, basically, you know, so you've discovered geocaching now and it looks really cool, but you want to, you think it might be an expensive hobby, and that's not true. So what does it cost to do geocaching? What do I need? Well, technically, you don't need to have a GPS, because I found my first geocache without a GPS. I read the clues and kind of got down on the with the Google map, and I actually did not need a GPS for my first one, but it's the most useful piece of equipment for the geocachers. And a basic one costs now about $70 or even less. You can find some used ones for even less than that. So I would run out and get yourself a GPS. And then a next thing you need is definitely batteries for your GPS, which is pretty much a given because you do need to have batteries. But aside from that, what other things do we like to have as we're geocaching? We like to have comfortable clothes and appropriate equipment. So that whether that be shorts or pants if you're definitely in the woods and stuff like that. So I would definitely wear pants, no sandals, stuff like that. Another thing is durable shoes appropriate for your environment. My wife last year, as we were geocaching, stepped on a thorn and with her sandals. She had sandals, not boots, and it went up into her foot. We had to call the park ranger and have him do some first aid on her foot. It's also good to have some sunscreen and some bug spray, because a lot of times as geocaching, we're out in the woods and we also are out in the sun, so it's good to have both those things. You can get them real cheaply at the dollar store. Also, a folded trash bag or two for when you go into the woods and come back out. You can pull the trash out for like the Citto stuff, so that way you keep the forest cleaner than as when you brought it in. A cell phone, if you have one, which is nice in case of emergencies, if you need to get a hold of the park rangers or anything like that, if you get lost. Pens and paper and pencils are always a good thing to have. It's good to have a small knapsack or fanny pack, which is good to hold gear. We use a backpack. In our backpack, we have all sorts of trading gear. We have the things I've mentioned before this. We have our trade items. We have extra batteries for GPS. We have first aid items. We keep our water in there when we are hiking. We also keep little stuff to repair geocaches that we come across that aren't good. So we go ahead and repair them. We also have any travel bugs or stuff that we need to get rid of when we have them. And it's also good to carry trail mix or suitable snack food, which is usually you can either make your own or get it for fairly cheap from Walmart. It's good also to have a walking stick, but you don't have to have one. And even if you want to, those are real cheap because you can make those if you really want to. So those are the good ways to geocache on a budget. So with that, I have a promotion I need to play for the geocaching main geocaching.
Congratulations, you found it, intentionally or not. Maine Podcast, the audio companion to Maine Geocaching Association.com. It's that special time in Maine, mud season, when geocaching becomes slippery, slidey, and fun. Suddenly, all those caches that were invisible under an endless blanket of snow are now back to a 1 or 2 difficulty, and those that are 3 feet up don't make sense no more. I'm Monty Wolf, the Doctor of Rockology, inviting you to join Katahdin Goddess in Khaki on the 1st and 15th of the month for the Maine Podcast. It's some kind of different, dear. Hey, yeah?
All right, thanks everybody for joining us today. Be on the lookout for contests coming from the Geocaching Podcast. Soon we will be having some contests where you can win some stuff, so be keeping a lookout for that. We'll have more information on future podcasts. We'll also have more information on the geocachingpodcast.info. If during the week you're out geocaching and you would like to leave us a message, it's 206-350-3GPS. Remember to tune in Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for this podcast where it's live, where you can chat, you can text chat, you can call in live, you can ask questions, and you want to be part of this show, make sure to go to talkshoe.com, sign up for a free pin. They are free. You can text, chat, call in, talk all about geocaching. We will always take questions, answer anything you want. So with that, I'd like to thank everybody who tuned in today. Thank you, Josh, from everytrail.com for being here. It's been a pleasure to talk to you about that. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to end the recording right now, but I'm going to leave the line open for a little bit. If anyone wants to call in, we can talk some more about geocaching. Some of the music on the show today was provided by the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com.